Additional items, discussion consideration of Crestview Mobile Home Park status of a temporary hoop building. Jerry.
Good morning.
Ken.
Hey, Breeden.
Okay, this is a zoning permit renewal request. Brant Lemur, Crestview Mobile Home Park. Mr. Lemur is here today if you have questions for him. The Board of Supervisors approved the temporary hoop building, which was used for removal of asbestos materials back in January of this year, January 2. They also approved the temporary development plan for that. There were several conditions along with approval of the zoning permit. One of the conditions is that the temporary hoop building and the mobile homes are supposed to be removed by the end of the month. However, there was a caveat that Mr. Lemur could request an extension. Mr. Lemur did request the extension in the afternoon of our posting last Wednesday. He is interested in extending the use of the temporary hoop building through the end of May of 2019. Planning staff does have a compromise based on information that was provided by Mr. Lemur's attorney at the Board of Health meeting in April, where he suggested that the mobile homes should be removed by the 29th of November of this year. We did have a conversation, Mr. Lemur and I. He's indicated that he and his abater are attempting to remove 5 to 10, or at least work on 5 to 10 mobile homes at a time. He indicated that 12 are ready to be removed. His attorney did indicate at the April 3 Board Health meeting that he thought that they could remove all of them by November 29. So that's the condition compromise that we recommended here with this request. Couple of the site photos that we took that day. Overall, there was nothing really major in terms of a surprise. This is a temporary hoop building. I believe it's about a 40 by 80 foot long structure. It was buttoned up. I didn't see inside of it. Through our conversation, Mr. Lemur did indicate that he's got, I think, a couple of personal vehicles and his son's basketball hoop inside there. But I just walked the facility for about 20 or 30 minutes. There were a couple of areas that it looked like he was doing some recycling of materials from existing units. This is just west of the mobile home, temporary hoop building, excuse me. And then this is an area, too, where it looked like there was a mobile home that had been removed. You see an appliance. There's some other items there. Just to the south of that is an existing dump truck. So I think he's trying to recycle some of the materials. This is just outside of the screened enclosure. There's stacked blocks, and Mr. Lemur indicated that when he, when mobile homes leave the facility, he's going to give them blocks so that they can be used to set up the units. This is inside the fenced enclosure. Two semi-trucks, two semi-trailers, those were there when we first got involved in this. This is the southwest area of the site. Looked like there might have been some additional fill dirt that was brought in. This is that west drive, furthest west side of the mobile home park. We're looking at the north east-west road. Again, some stacking of blocks. This is the west north-south drive. Again, you see some of the units. And again, overall, most of the units appear to be in their existing established location. There are some units outside of those established spots in the drives. This is the second east-west drive north of the Lincoln Way. And this is the furthest south drive. I think there's like four units there. This is the northeast side. There's four or five units. These are to be removed. And it looks like we still have some decks. These decks were from some of the existing units. And then semi-truck, some vans, vehicle, an enclosed trailer. Those were there also the first time that we were there. So again, in summary, it looks like most of the mobile homes are within the location, their original orientation. There are some within the drives. I counted approximately 37 units still there. Again, Mr. Lemur indicated that he's got 12 that are ready to be removed. This temporary hill building is essential to the process that he's involved in reviewing and removing the asbestos. So it is essential. We think that it stay, that it be extended. Again, we're recommending a compromise from the request of May 31st, 2019 to November 29, 2018, and that the temporary hoop building be removed at the end of December 31 of this year. And then as a benchmark, we are suggesting that there be no more than 18 units at the end of August. And so this brings us to the conditions. These conditions were on the previous extension, that the temporary hoop building be used for the asbestos removal. Again, the time frame should be through November 29 of this year, and that the temporary hoop building be removed from the site December 31, 2018, that it continue to be tied down, which it was, that they continue to follow DNR requirements. And then if they're removing the materials from the unit, that they be placed in an area where it's enclosed, whether it be a trailer or some type of solid enclosure, so that we don't have movement of the material. There's a statement in there about not stacking items higher than 10 feet, specifically the hazardous materials, and that they be removed at least monthly. And with this, this is a request for a motion. Planning and development staff does plan on attending the Board of Health meeting and providing an update similar to what the Board of Supervisors is receiving. If they have take action on a more restrictive schedule with regard to the removal of the units, then we will bring back that motion for Board of Supervisor consideration and action. With that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
So help me with this, Gary. So I understand the hoop building, the permit for the hoop building resides with the Board of Supervisors, but removal of the mobile homes and the schedule therein, where does that reside? I viewed it more as a Board of Health issue.
It has been. I don't know that there's been an exact number provided other than what was provided at the last April Board of Health meeting with regard to the specific numbers. And that's when it was suggested by Mr. Lemur's attorney that they would have them all removed from the park by the 29th of November.
Sure. Well, Marty, you're on Board of Health. What do you see? The Board of Health's been dealing with this all the way through, and the Board of Supervisors has gotten involved where it was under our purview, right? We provided funds to assist people with movement. We tried to work with Grant on getting what he needs in place to go ahead and get everything dismantled. But I get concerned if we're stepping into what is a Board of Health purview.
I think Jerry addressed it right there in this last bullet point and reflecting meeting next week. I think the Board of Health is being progressive and frustrated as they deal with this each meeting. This is always a component of every Board of Health quarterly meeting. I would just turn to the park's owner and see if he has any problems with the conditions as laid out that the Board of Supervisors would act on. In the sense that you don't get to pick and choose. This is this. Either you agree to what is proposed here that we would act upon, and if you'd like to have anything done different, I'd like you to tell us, this Board of Supervisors, what you'd like to see different.
Brant, you've been invited up if you want to come up and address any of this.
Brant Lemire, 5615 Lincoln Way, Ames. No, I don't want to come up, I guess, but since I'm here, you asked. This is just a simple, I came in last December, part of December, just for a simple building permit. Jerry is very thorough, Mr. Moore is very thorough in what he does, very thorough. And it's got kind of changed to a temporary only permit, which is fine. I'm not arguing that to this point, whichever. But it comes down to just simply a building permit, a simple hoop building on a property. Temporary came into play because of, you know, eventually we're trying to clean the park up and going to sell. If the new buyer doesn't want a hoop building, it's a temporary structure, can be removed very easily. That's where Mr. Moore went with the temporary part. And I'm fine. This building isn't a big deal to myself. Okay? The big picture here is on with the Board of Health, what we're dealing with. That's the big picture. Yes, this building is to assist such, but that's not 100% of its use, intention, and whichever. So today we sit here to extend such, which is fine. If you want to extend it, that's fine. Initially, I'd mentioned to Mr. Moore a month ago or a few weeks ago when I was out of town that my intention would be to let's set it up the way it should have been done initially, if I have to reapply or whichever, so we don't have this extension. There's too many variables that comes into play on this since this all started last June. So I don't want to be here again and waste resources, county resources, and county time on maybe another extension, if you will. That's what I said in a month. But right now, I don't care. However you want to do it, I'm fine with what was presented today. I'm fine with it. I'll agree.
Yeah, so right now, it is a temporary permit with a deadline. Jerry, I just real quick thumb sketch assessment. Is there some reason that the owner of that property couldn't have a temporary hoop building that wasn't associated with the cleanup?
Well, the property is zoned commercial light industrial.
Right.
So with every permit submittal, we look at what the use is.
Right.
And so that would have to be a big part of it. With this submittal, it was to be used specifically for the asbestos review and removal.
100% on where we are today. What I'm hearing Brant say, and Brant, sometimes it's hard to get through all you're saying to what you're trying to say. What I'm hearing you try to say is, you think you ought to be able to have a hoop building there for storage or whatever you want to use it?
Not necessarily, but that's fine. Today, where I sit, I would like that, yes. I initially came in December, simple application for a building permit, and it just been blown out of proportion, if you will, I feel. Just simply, I just want to keep simple.
Conversation too, for, you know, taking into account, and this is a conversation itself, with your attorney at a Board of Health meeting that was to take into account the elements of the winter months here in Iowa for trailer demolition. Now, it wasn't just in general. Now, I think the application and the desire to do this was specific to the fact that you were going to have trailer demolition or the likelihood therein in on a 24 or a 12-month time period, and this would assist in that. So I would amend. Yep. In my recollection, I deserve.
Correct. No, that was that's why it was a hurried construction in nice weather we had in the middle of December to get done such. But through those proceedings, we were not able to do any demolition up until just recently. The intention in December was, yes, take advantage of the winter months. That's why we put the building. But that was one small, again, it's just well, I think we're confusing this situation a little more. And I'm not arguing anything. I'm fine with whatever you agree with.
I don't have any confusion up here. I just want you to be clear that the action before this board is with this permit with these conditions. And I just want to hear that you say, I have read the conditions, I accept the conditions, I will abide by the conditions. Because it will step into another meeting next week.
Correct. Correct.
Loris.
I heard you say that, well, we could just go ahead and let me reapply. Jerry, given the zoning of this, would he be able to reapply without and not need a conditional use permit for this structure if Ms. Lemire just reapplied for the new structure.
Well, it's not a conditional use permit.
Okay, well, that's what I'm asking. Okay.
Well, yeah, the first zoning permit for the temporary building had an expiration date of May 31st, and then Mr. Lemur had the option of requesting for the extension. This time around, that option doesn't occur, but that doesn't mean that the board couldn't add that if additional time is needed. The goal is to remove the mobile homes.
Right. Okay, and I'm going to go back just to the building, the one we've got control over. At the time of the original application that Mr. Lemur wanted to make, could he have just said, I want to put up this coop building, period, okay?
The mobile home park is a legal non-conforming use in a commercial light industrial district, so we would look at what is the intended use of that hoop building in that district. And so everything starts with the zoning, what the use is. There would be updated site plan requirements. We would go through our general regulations and look at a lot of different things with regard to a request to submit a temporary or a permanent.
Well, we're actually dealing with one of these in a different mobile home park right now as well. One of those requests.
Ingrid
Grove, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What makes this temporary? The material it's made out of, or because if you applied for a permanent permit, it would have triggered all of your other reviews?
It was probably part of the submittal. A hoop building for this specific use, and it just seemed reasonable to make it temporary, and that's what we brought before the Board of Supervisors.
At least
so that it would have an ending time period, so that it would be removed.
I would just caution that I suspect that at the Board of Health meeting, they will want to see it as it presented.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I just clarification for me about how we got to this temporary. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
All right.
Harry, Brand, anything else?
Nothing else.
All right. Martin, do you want to take a swipe at it since it's coming to Board of Health?
Well, I have given Brent the opportunity to address and or amend anything that's presented today. He has chosen not to, so I would go. Move consideration of the Crestview Mobile Home temporary status super permit as presented by Planning and Development today.
I would second.
With the conditions?
With the stated conditions.
I accept that.
Yep. As presented.
As presented.
Yep. Further discussion. Gary, you getting where you need to be here?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chee.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes as presented by Planning and Development.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Next item is discussion consideration of Story County Housing Needs Study in light of release of Iowa Finance Authority's Iowa Profile on Demographics, Economic, and Housing, a statewide and regional data and forecast. Loris.
Okay, and if Brendan and Leanne would like to come up and join me in case they have any input into this that they'd like to provide. As we had originally discussed and put together a work group, looking at conducting a housing needs study for Story County. We've had a lot of discussion over a couple different meetings about what was needed. Ames is a player that has been taken into consideration at one point. And as we were going through all of this, we learned that the Iowa Finance Authority was going to issue their own housing study. And so the decision was that we would wait until the housing study was released to see what was in it, to see if it would meet our needs. Therefore, even at budget workshop time, we put in less than originally anticipated by quite a bit to get us started planning, seeing what would be issued and then what could we build on. So beta of it was issued about 3 weeks ago and did end up being shared with me. Brandon and I had a conversation about that there was a lot missing from what we anticipated a housing study would look at. And Leanne had been doing the follow-up, which we appreciate, with Iowa Finance Authority to keep on top of this, because this was supposed to be issued in February. So they had some other things come up. And so now it's issued. I also sent the link to Deb Shildroth, because as we possibly look forward about what a housing study needs would look like, what would we need to fill in here, it seemed like it will be at least a couple staff people involved, plus Brenda, and we need to take a look at our original plan for presentation to the board about how we might form a steering committee, et cetera. My personal assessment after looking at the beta and now then looking at what was released in its entirety is we are very short of the information Story County needs, especially the smaller communities, to be able to assist them and possibly some of the smaller developers or individuals who'd like to do just a couple of houses, et cetera, the type of information they need to take to their financing entities or to interact with various government programs to help really build what do we have outside of AIMS. And as we discussed previously, is that given that AIMS is working on their own comprehensive plan and will be gathering some of the data information for the five-year report to the Housing and Urban Development, we would weave in the AIMS information at the end. And with that, I'll leave it and see if Leanne or Brenda want to say anything.
Hi.
Well, good morning. Brenda Dreyer, AIMS Economic Development Commission. And we had great hopes for what we might see in the study, and I think there is good data there that'll be really helpful in potentially other applications we may assemble in terms of needing demographic information. But at least my early review of the beta as well as the final is that it's perhaps maybe lacking some recommendations in terms of giving a bit of idea to our communities about where they should be headed. And so not only potentially our smallest communities, but I also look at the opportunities we have in Nevada, Huxley, and Story City and wonder about figuring out the best way to perhaps build on the data that has been provided. Certainly we don't need to look at demographic data, because I think there's a lot of it there, and I think there's ways that we can change the data to give us the information we want. It's just how do we build on potentially the IFA data, and if it makes sense, provide a roadmap to give our communities guidance on where they should be potentially focusing some of their efforts. So it's tough, because I think all of us wanted to see this earlier. And it just isn't maybe potentially what we need to keep potentially doing some good planning. So that's my insight. I think there's stuff there. I think we can use it as a foundation. I think it'll be meaningful for other strategies, but in terms of maybe giving some priorities to our communities, it's just not there.
Super. Thanks. Leanne.
Well, Brenda just said it very well. I was going to comment that it did provide a foundation, but there is some additional detail and some holes I think further study could help fill in the gaps.
Okay. And so as we look at this as a Story County Board, clearly AIMS is kind of moving in their own direction right now with their housing program as they look at their entire issue. Is it worth a conversation between us and Story City and Huxley and Nevada as we look at the, and I don't mean to exclude anybody else, but we kind of have established a practice,
yes,
if we choose to continue it, where the Board of Supervisors has kind of adopted, if you will, our smaller communities,
yep,
but not as much with Story City, Huxley, Nevada. And it feels to me like there might be a four-way partnership here to look at taking the foundation, mm-hmm, that we have and adding the information that's needed by those three communities and then the greater Story County community and hopefully that will augment whatever Ames is doing on their own. Am I hearing that accurately?
Do you know, and I would tell you that those three communities, I have not personally had any discussion that we've seen data, but I think it would be a great opportunity. You know, I have informal conversations with them all the time, so I know housing is on their minds. We've all sat at their council meetings. We know those things get brought up. So I think that's a great strategy. So
I would suggest going forward and see how this suggestion is. So I would suggest that we look at pulling together a conversation with the appropriate stakeholders in Nevada, Story City, and Huxley, that we also ask the Story County Housing Trust Fund Board to take a look at what kind of information ultimately they'd like to see collectively coming out. And then the final one, Leanne, is I would love for this conversation to go before the Story County Economic Development Group, again, to get their input of what needs to happen. I believe clearly, or at least in my mind, clearly, this would be something that would be funded jointly between Story City, Huxley, Nevada, and Story County. But we need to know, we don't need to overdo it. We need to see what's important to that group and those other groups I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Is that a reasonable pathway forward, or do you think that's reasonable?
Oh, I think it's reasonable. It was already discussed. Yeah, it's first time around, I think, Leanne taking the lead on this, and however she wants to incorporate writing Brenda too, but yes, it was always intended to be for the whole county, and I like getting the weigh-in on the various entities you mentioned, saying what do we need in addition to the smallest communities, whatever. Absolutely.
Yeah, the difference for this conversation and every conversation we've had before is we finally know what we don't know.
Right.
We didn't know what we were
right.
going to get. Now we know, and we can actually build, hey, these are the kind of additional or more in-depth information that we need, and start to have that conversation of what it looks like, what it'll cost, who's going to pay, those kind of things.
Yeah, I just, in going through just the information that was missing, I made my own personal list of what my perception is based on the previous study from 1997 and also a housing study from Mitchell County that Brenda had shared. Okay, but that doesn't mean that the, as you say, the stakeholders from the Story County Economic Development Group, from the Huxley, Nevada, and Story City, they may find some other priorities about what is important to know about their housing in the town, the condition of it, the availability, etc. So I think it's great to then turn it over and have that conversation.
I would not have thought, as we had addressed this at the end of December.
Oh, and even before.
We went out the IFA study, that seems long ago. The IFA study was supposed to be given to us in consumable form, but in February.
Yes.
What you guys mean government was slower than you expected? I'm shocked.
And the rest of the story, several weeks ago at the Housing Trust Fund Board's meeting, Polk County representative, even in its most granular form, was still, you had to squint to see anything usable, and they thought that there were still gaps and holes there. Ames, clearly, it was easy to discern more with them. After you move out of the Ames area, it was much harder to get anything from the information. And that's disappointing for the fact that you would have thought, okay, we can start moving here or have a conversation, develop the framework, and I guess that's where we're at. But we still are lacking on where I would have thought we would have been at the end of May this year.
And, you know, things are changing and changing quickly, and even, I think, even the changes and the growth we've seen or the numbers we've seen since December have gone up as well. And I would volunteer to make sure that at the next Story County Housing Trust Fund meeting that this does get added to the agenda. I would take ownership in that aspect and make sure we have ample time to get that discussed and ask the board members to make sure they take a look at the full IFA study in anticipation of that meeting.
I'm just going to follow up with that just for some guidance from the board on what kind of time frame you're looking at.
The allocation, I'd like to say as quickly as possible, but actually let's go with as feasible. We want to do a good job. We want to make sure that communities get to weigh in and they have time to consider it, okay? So when is the next Story County Economic Development Group scheduled?
July
would be the next
so
schedule.
So if we could ask, if that be on that agenda, that'd be 6 weeks away.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Then the Housing Trust Fund is meeting, what, middle of this month? So if we ask for the July from them, maybe? From you guys?
I guess I think we got to make sure sooner than later we get to Huxley Story City in Nevada.
I had gotten that.
And yeah, I think that's an important conversation to have. Make sure that we have those discussions before the Story County.
But make sure I'm.
We're just sharing data. Yeah, because they've never seen
it.
Yeah.
We're asking for a conversation. And
yeah.
So if what we're talking about, Morris, is that by the end of July, we've reached out to all the stakeholders and we've asked them to consider what they think the conversation looks like for a conversation to occur this fall, because really where we're going to have decision points when it comes to budget conversations, right? And so to me, that means initiate the conversation early this summer, have the conversation during the fall for a decision point to hit us right as winter starts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just think it would even be good just to have them. I would guess those three communities and even the smaller ones have no clue that there was a housing something being done by IFA. So, yeah, I think we just need to get them up to
our future partners that we don't have time to have conversations there.
Yep.
So, Leanne, I'm hearing this as direction to you to build into your work program, or what you're hearing from us, is it a reasonable request that you start to pull this conversation in?
I think so.
No. All right. Would you ask us to consider something else, a different kind of timeline, a different kind of conversation? Or is this a good place to start and see where we go?
Let's start here.
Okay. All right. Morris, how about you make the motion setting that direction?
Okay. I move that we ask staff to initiate contact with the Story County Economic Development Group, the Story County Housing Trust Fund Board, the stakeholders and the government in Huxley, Nevada, and Story City, plus our smaller communities to let them know that we want to see if they would like to get involved in the conversation about creating a housing study for Story County and how that might be funded and what kind of information would be needed.
Marty, you willing to second that?
I think that's very much
a second. Do you need a time frame in it, or were you pretty clear on the time frame?
I'm good.
Okay. All right.
We could hear that this year with everything on the plus.
Okay.
If we keep moving. And if it doesn't keep moving, then we're just going to have to amend it backwards, which I know would be shocking from government. Okay. Further discussion?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Kitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Good job, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Facilities Management Quarterly Report. Joby? Joe, you guys don't have anything going, do you? Yeah, I mean,
nothing. It was tough to come up with something to put off.
Good morning, Joey.
Good morning.
Morning. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
It's good.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's just get started. We'll start with the easy ones, the completed work orders for the quarter. Administration building, we had 106 just regular work orders, 2 on-call after-hours work orders. Group homes, 17. Completed regular work orders, 3 on-call work orders. At Conservation McFarland Park, we had 20 regular work orders. No on-calls out there. Human Services Center, we had 73 regular work orders, 3 on-call work orders. Out at the jail, just the jail itself, was 51 work orders, 3 on-calls. The rest of the Justice Center facility, 103 regular work orders, 2 on-calls. Animal Control, just 6 regular work orders, nothing on call. Engineers Building, just 2 regular work orders and nothing on call there. Gives us a total of 378 regular work orders and 13 on calls. And we still had some snow days in this quarter, 10 of them to be exact. Some more stuff, a little more detail. We hired a new custodian, Jordan Knapp, so welcome addition to the department. That puts us at full staff, which is good. And then finally we got into doing some mowing this quarter.
And now you're not going to be able to stop for a few months.
Exactly. And crazy enough, in a two-week span, we actually removed snow and mowed in the same two-week period. So. And then we've come up with a new work order system in our department. We're going to start tracking them a little bit better, which is equates to we've got some maintenance and repair logs that are part of that. So we're going to hopefully launch that completely next month. So total electronic form. It'll all be just interdepartment tracking. So the way we receive work orders will stay the same, but the way the staff responds to them will be an electronic form. Then all of our equipment and buildings have electronic files that we can put all them work orders in and track them.
And if I happen to spill oatmeal all over the floor again?
We can track that.
Okay, great.
So that generates a work order?
Well, she puts in the request to have it cleaned up. That generates a work order.
Okay.
So. Right. Okay, yeah. So yep. You can track it.
Yeah. Make it a lot easier to more specifically track all our work orders. So not specifically just what Laura's
doing. Okay, thank you.
For everything. Okay, and then we've been working on getting the animal control project underway, doing some demo out there and some removalists and stuff that we don't need. So that's well on its way, and that's a good thing.
And it's not a small thing either.
Yeah. And we added some keyless entry to a door out of McFarland Park, the main reception desk door right there by where Melissa sits. So. Also out there at McFarland Park, we got all the parking lot lights changed to LED light fixtures. So
that's very really good.
Yeah.
You can't convert too many of these out. The sodiums, the high pressures to LEDs is just so much less
electricity. Yeah, fraction of the electricity consumed. So much better light out there too. So, all right. We also had a collapsed drain tile out there at McFarland Park. It was the drain tile that handles the sump pump discharge and the downspouts. So we got that found and put back together, so that's good. We've been out over at HSC. We've been working with the carpet manufacturer and the installers. We've had some bad batch of carpet. Unfortunately, yeah. It's all just, I got most of the final information last Friday. At this point, we've replaced all the carpet in the county attorney's office, and more to come. The main hallway on second floors, completely all getting replaced, and there'll probably be more to follow, because the manufacturer's determined that it is a defect in the manufacturing process, so it's been at no cost to Story County, but it's still some large areas that had to be recarpeted that are only a couple, 3 years old, but it'll all come together, so it's getting there. During the heavy rains at the beginning of May, we had some roof leaks. HSC got a few. Most of them were actually not roof-related. There's the fresh air unit that sits on the roof. If the wind blows just right and the rain's heavy enough, it'll come in the door and leak into the multi-purpose room, which we had that, but that just one area. The rest of the roof had no holes in it. Now, the Justice Center, on the other hand, was a whole different story. So it's started after the hail. Roughly around 100 patches were put on the roof. About half of those were actual holes in it. And now that we've heated up and the roof has expanded, it has torn more holes in it. We're over 200 patches that are put down. There's about 150 additional that are just temporary that need to be permanently patched. But this Thursday, insurance adjuster will be out up there with a roofing contractor to evaluate the entire roof. So we'll know more at the end of this week.
This is a building that's not even 20 years old.
No.
I mean, you know, you talk HSC, when was that built?
98.
So again, less than 20 years old. Wouldn't you love to be able to go back and have a whack at designing something that actually
fit? Yeah. Because I mean,
Yeah, that whole road, it's a little, it's the same material that's on HSC, and you can just, you know, the same weather, essentially. The hail's a little bit different, but when you look at the HSC...
Well, but I'm thinking of more than that. I'm thinking of a pressure air unit.
Oh, yeah, everything.
Sucks in water.
There's a whole
I'm thinking
lot.
Of the heat pumps on the roof of Justice Center that were never designed to be outside. I mean, I just, I scratch my head, and I think about 20 years ago when we were making this, when decisions were being made about those buildings, did they know where they were going to leave us 15 years down the road?
I think so. You know, you look at... This building was remodeled after those two, and all those things were addressed when we remodeled this building, and hence there's no equipment on the roof of this building. It's all internal, so a lot of those things come into play. But the deed's been done. It'd been nice to know those things beforehand, but we'll get them there, which kind of brings us to that famous heat pump out of the Justice Center that has now been replaced with a unit that is designed to sit where it sits, and it's 100% complete, including the addition of a large gas line to handle whatever we may do with that roof in the future. So it's running.
And so this is one heat pump out of how many at the Justice Center?
13 total on that roof.
And so as I sit here, it's reasonable to expect to start to see the same kind of problems out of those other heat pumps. What did this one cost us?
It was $23,000.
Yeah, so we're going to be somewhere all said and done, over $300,000 replacing stuff that should have never been put there in the first place.
Yep.
At what point does the contractor's warranty or the?
I can ask. I'd like to go back and talk to the architect. I'd like to talk to everybody involved, but of course, there's nothing we can do now.
Well, some of that come into play way back when there was a power purchasing agreement between the county and Alliant Energy at the time that dictated the type of equipment that went up there, because Alliant Energy put in some of the costs so that we could go geothermal. So, and which we are not in that agreement anymore. 2 years ago, we bought out of that agreement. Right. So
that was part of us taking the
generators over. That all that was part of that whole agreement. Yeah. So now that leaves us.
Some bad decisions.
Yes,
were made, and now we're dealing with it. And what's important for us to remember is we better maintain some flexibility in our budget, because there's potentially $300,000. I mean, they could all go bad tomorrow, and they don't overlap at all. So when one of them goes down, we basically lose that part of the building.
Yeah, basically, primarily in the jail. And, the actual jail itself is the one that's most vulnerable, which is not a good facility to have that kind of vulnerability in. So, which we addressed that this winter when it happened, what brought to light a lot of issues that is we had to move people around, and that comes with the cost. Which still out at the Justice Center, one other thing, we got the water softener installed, fully operational, doing what we needed to do. But we actually seen a decrease in work orders for some of them. Intricate valves in the jail that having hard water created a lot of work orders for that. So that was a good thing to see. And then another thing out at the Justice Center is the dispatch console project. Assistance on that. It is.
That's ended up being a lot more work than you thought, right? So we had a manufacturer issue there.
Yep. And
so you're going to have to put it in, take it out, put it in again. Is that what it is?
Yeah, we might be able to reuse 99% of the existing furniture and remove one piece of it to get us in compliance with ADA coming through the door. So there's a meeting this Thursday with the furniture representative is going to be there, so no more on that. But
we made the right request, and we just didn't get what we requested.
Yes, basically, they did not provide what they said they were going to provide.
And that the county attorney's involved in now.
Yep. So, and then, but they are in there. Two of their workstations are operable, so we have two of dispatch staff is on site working out of there instead of being You know, we had one at Ames and one at Iowa State. So they're in there working. So I think that covers everything I've got here. Anything you guys got for me?
Well, just appreciation. You go above and beyond, Joby. You and your staff go above and beyond, and it's so appreciated. I hate that because of decisions that were made in the past, we saddle you with some of this stuff. We like it a lot if you could just take care of the buildings like you're supposed to and not deal with some of these things that unfortunately are rearing their head. But, man, we're glad you're the one dealing with them.
Well, thank you. You're under my 100%. So,
absolutely. Questions or comments for Joby?
Here, we're singing your praises at the meeting here recently. That the flexibility of your staff and your abilities of your staff to get those consoles fixed, and that's not a small thing. Because I understand some reengineering was done to make them work.
Yes.
Disassembly, reassembly. So, good on you. Tell me about the windows. How did that's been one of those things that we saw, knowing that they were original 1992 windows, and we need to replace. Where are you at there?
Well, it was a little bit, took a little longer than I anticipated. Getting numbers back was the biggest part. And I just briefly talked with Mike last week at the Department Head Elected Official staff meeting that I finally got all the final numbers, so now it's getting with him and trying to get something scheduled. And then deciding where we want to start and all that. So there's options. So it was good. It was, you know, as far as some people were just, I mean, they're some of the windows are very large. So we had some people just say, not interested, which you're going to have that because they just don't have the staff. So, and then just getting multiple trips out there with multiple suppliers to get us some price so we even had an idea what they would cost. But we've got some numbers. So now it's decision time on what works with everybody's schedule. Because you all know that building has a lot of stuff going on in it all the time. So getting the schedule is the next hurdle, but we are getting...
Well, since facilities has taken over, so conservation used to run maintenance of that building in-house. Since you've taken it over, we really upgraded that facility and really appreciate you doing it. Give us a quick update on animal control. So you had a walkthrough with potential builders.
Yep. Last Thursday, they had a contractor's pre-bid meeting. Great turnout, so that was good to see. Large number of people, general contractors down to subcontractors, so that's good. So hopefully next week we're going to open the bids for that, and hopefully we get some good numbers. Again, like I said, our department got that whole east wing, all the demo done, flooring, ceiling that's coming out, so it's pretty much wide open for them to get started on the east end, and then we'll start coordinating with Stu. Had a little discussion with her last Friday about getting the flooring taken up in the public area, because that will have to, you know, because they try to stay open for business, you know. So we got a little window in the morning, and then it's a noisy. The machine we got that takes that carpet up is noisy. So we're going to try to do as much as we can at night with our night maintenance staff, but there's only two of them. So, and it didn't come up real easy in the east end. So yeah, we had four guys about all they could do to get some of it ripped up. So unfortunately we will have to do some of it during the day, but right now they're currently only open for business, you know, starting at noon. So, but we'll have to shuffle, you know, they still got to do their job, so we'll have to shuffle things around, but we'll get there. So
okay.
I'm going to approach this from a different angle, look at it, Deb Sildroth, and say, how did the animals cope with all of this noise, et cetera, Deb? Has Sue given you any feedback on that, about do we need to think about moving animals out?
One of the things she talked about wanting to do in terms of once the bids have been accepted and we've have the contractor is to build that fence outside in the dog walking area so that the dogs can be moved outside during the day. Again, that's weather permitting, but that would be a way to get the dogs away from the work that needs to be done in that particular area. But the bulk of the room and work in the cat room would be done, and then they can move the cats into that room. So that's kind of the sequence of events that they plan on doing. She hasn't said anything about animals being in distress, at least for the demoing part that facilities did, but of course there's no animals in that area of the building. But she is thinking about that and wanting to make adjustments as necessary.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. One thing I'd like to add that's part of that Deb wasn't part of this conversation. We, during the contractor's walkthrough, we this come up about, you know, hopefully we can have at least the fence portion that'll be like the kennel area so that we can move the dogs out. But we also discussed the possibility of there's might be a period of time where we have to take a break from construction so we can shuffle everything around. Because like mm-hmm. Deb said, what my staff did was so far away the animals weren't. It didn't disturb them. But there is areas that as we move, as construction progresses across there, that it's inevitable. We will have to address the animals. And like I said, a lot of the cats will go, that's the primary is finish that east end, which will have the new cat room. So we move all the cats there, and then as weather permitting, we've moved the dogs outside so they're disturbed. But yeah, and if we have to take a break in construction to shuffle everything around, we talked about all the contractors that were there as part of the discussion that myself and Jeff Harris had with them, some of the possibilities that we might have to do, because we wanted to make sure they understood that the building will be inhabited both by people and animals during the construction. So,
thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Super. Thanks.
Thanks, Joey.
Thank you, guys.
All right, to other reports. Now we get an update on legal review, revisions, and plan for solicitation of community input on the Story County New Construction and Substantial Rehabilitation Housing Grant Pilot Program proposed at the December 5th, 2017 Board of Supervisors meeting. Laura, I'm going to start with you. I know you got Ethan and Leanne listed here and
right.
Linda listed as well, but
sure.
Take us through what we're talking about today.
Sure. And I did put in an accompanying note so that hopefully everybody would kind of follow along. This started, I said, hey, let's look if we can create some kind of pilot program to get Story County directly involved in helping with housing efforts, particularly in the small communities. And we had some discussion up here at the board, an informal internal work committee, work group. Oh, yeah, I did that. I even sent a correction out of the email. We are not a committee. A work group was created. It was Brendan Dreyer, Leanne Harder, Ethan, and myself. And we batted around kind of a very rough idea of what I kind of had, and we created this particular proposed pilot program. Brought it to the December 5th board meeting, and one of the first questions that came up was, of course, about while Ethan had been part of the work group, we still weren't sure, were we even as a county able to look at spending money this way? And so it was referred over to Ethan, and then in January, when we were creating the budget, discussion came up, and both you and Supervisor Chibi had some very good questions. It had been a while in us even formulating this plan, working on it. And then, was this needed anymore, which was one question. Another one was, had I really reached out, or had we, and it was really me who was kind of doing the communication part of it, to all the stakeholders that needed to be. And it was a good question also, because I had viewed this, obviously I talked to a lot of people, but had viewed this, maybe we would adopt it as in the draft form and then go out and solicit the information afterwards. But it sounded like the two of you were much more comfortable. Let's go talk to more people and more people first, okay? So we discussed it, and I, as a loan supervisor, can go out and float a plan as long as I make it very clear it is unapproved by the board and there's no funding associated with it right now. So I contacted Nell when we learned that the IEPA study was coming back, because we were looking at maybe doing them somewhat in conjunction with each other. And so then I contacted Leanne and Brenda and Ethan and said, well, look, I'm thinking about doing this over the summer. And Ethan pointed out, which is good, Ethan's memory is better than mine, that in March he had sent an email to all of us saying, we should get together one more time, talk about, you know, whether we want to look at a few changes related. So we got back together. Brenda was not able to make it, and we took a look and fine-tuned some of the language in it. The concept is still the same. We've changed tentative dates. The dates are just there. I went back and forth whether to add dates or not, but I thought it might at least help people stimulate thought. And that would be part of the feedback about even does this timing, if something were done next year or started this year. I asked Leanne if that would even be feasible in a work schedule, and she thought, yes, but nothing's locked in here. This is all about getting feedback, going out to, I know I had a conversation with the executive director of the Central Iowa Realtors. She was waiting to see it. I talked to Amber Corriere about it, and I said, hey, can I send it to Stark County Housing Trust Fund for input on that, okay? So also, I hope to take it out or plan on taking it out either to all of our small communities or mailing them to the clerk and asking can they distribute it to the various managers and to the council people. What do you think? We'll be sending it to the Ames Rental Association. Anybody, that's just some of the stakeholders. I'd like to get Amos's input on it. They work with affordable housing also. So the whole point here is just to put this out and let people provide feedback. They, you know, anything they want to say about it, we don't need it, okay? Or already a couple of builders that have outside of the Ames area that focus have said, well, I don't know that $6,700 does me much good. Okay, so maybe that's not. But the whole point here is to figure out how can we help put new housing somewhat rapidly on the book for affordable and low income, low and modest on this. And it's a pilot program. And if it doesn't work or doesn't either in that format or doesn't seem to go forward at all, if the feedback is overwhelmingly that, no, we just don't think that it would do any good for the county to get into this, then we'd come back to the board only as, hi, I did this summer, and this is the feedback I got. And if there's some kind of interest in it, I said that hopefully that if the committee would still be willing to meet again, you know, I think the committee kind of likes it, at least, and see then do we want to bring something to the board. So it's that's what's happening.
So let me start with this.
Sure.
As I go through this, I think there's a lot of ideas in here that are absolutely worth fleshing out fully and seeing what happens. I mean, I think we all agree that housing in Story County, I mean, you start primarily with Ames, but it spills over into Story County as a whole, is an issue we've got to deal with. And in fact, we have been trying to nip at the edges, but I like the idea of exploring, making sure the county is doing everything that's reasonable for the county to do. And I think this document gives us a good starting point to do that. So a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
One, how does the conversation we just had about the needs assessment, about fit into this, and are we getting into a cart ahead of the horse kind of situation? And two, how vested are you in the idea that this would be a county run program rather than a county funded program?
Sure. I'm going to answer the second one first about vested. I'm not vested at all in it being a long-term county run program. I would like very much that when the Story County Housing Trust Fund is in a position to be able to absorb administration of it, to take over for that. And the reason, in part, that we developed this pilot the way we did was to have the housing entity that might apply for the funds, be the grantee or the city or whatever, to have to worry about the very few minimal requirements invested in it so that it would operate exactly like we do with the applications for the facade program coming to our special projects manager, or even for when we do the economic development funding out of TIF, okay? So that, and then once Story County can take over even that part of it, Story County Housing Trust Fund, that would alleviate staff from that. I don't I don't feel comfortable that it's our role to get directly into the administration of that. Feedback from our attorney and Leanne would be good on that one, and then I'll come back to the other one.
I mean, those sound like nice policy considerations. I would defer to the board on policy. I guess my role in review was whether or not it's legally permissible to fund this. And then I reviewed the document to protect from fraud and abuse. So I guess the specific question being whether or not the county continues funding on an ongoing basis, that's something the board will decide to do.
The only additional thing I would add is the board obviously approves my work program annually. If this is something that would be an ongoing program to add, it would just be a careful consideration as to what would be, if it would be manageable with existing workload or would something else be reassigned or go away.
Well, and Leanne, as we're dealing with the second question, so as I think Loris rightly points out that we do the facade grant and we run some economic development programs specifically for our smaller towns as part of your work program, but as I recall, when we talked about specifically the facade grant back, well, we started talking about that, 7 years ago and finally got it done five years ago, our original thought was we would find another entity to administer the program, and we just couldn't find an entity anywhere that could administer the program, so it fell to us. Where I see this one is a little different is we do have the Story County Housing Trust Fund Board, Marty, that you serve on, that I'm excited about them getting ramped up and taking it. And what is the right way, and again, Ethan rightly points out, this is a policy conversation, what's the right way for us to assist in that?
Marty, did you want to say something about the Housing Trust Fund, the conversation last month?
Yes, I understand it, and I was just recently brought on, I think I've only had a chance to attend 2 meetings. It's an organization that's learning to stand by a block, and we're talking about running right now. So what do I see in the coming days, months, years, that will be the organization that does a great deal of what you are proposing. I guess, to me, the conversation turns into the fact that are we a funder or we are the actual program developer or implementer. And I guess I'm not looking to get necessarily into the implementer side of it.
The last one I went to the... Yes, okay, and I asked,
You were listed as, I think you were the public.
Oh, okay, I was the public at the last Healthy Trust Fund meeting, and I did ask, could you please confirm that that you're not ready to take on this pilot or any pilot program or really take on anything except what you're proposing for your own funds right now for at least another year, next year or so. And that was confirmed. Part of it has to do with the contract that Polk County Trust is right fund now doing the paperwork,
et cetera. That's right. Any dollars you put there, they get a slice off the top just for
Right. So, from a cost effectiveness standpoint. And then going back to putting the cart before the horse, because I didn't think about this. We originally had a concurrent timeline laid out. I think that going out to vet this type of thing, while people are thinking about housing, we're in the housing season, this is going to take time anyway, all right, with Leanne going out there and handling the housing study, kind of as people get together to talk about that, what do we need long term, I'm going to be emphasizing on what do we need in the next 12 months? I mean, would any of this fit for the next 12 months? Rapidly could we get something going? And so even the Housing Trust, the Housing Needs Study, that time frame won't be setting anything for us until at the earliest, later, probably 2019, about looking forward. We'll have the pilot input done. If we decide to go forward and fund a few, projects on it, I mean, as in units, not huge projects, and we discover it works or doesn't work or there's a need or not, that ought to coincide exactly with as all the discussions and all the research is done from the Housing Trust Fund and then, or the Housing Needs, and we can go together on it.
So what I'm hearing is we should view this today as more an update of the work that you've done and what your plans are for the next few months to go out and solicit input from a variety of people.
Correct.
In your role as a sole supervisor.
Correct.
And just keeping us updated.
Correct.
Perfect.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Guys, for your work so far.
Thank you. Super. Thanks, guys.